I'm here with Harvey Kay, who is the author of the book, The Fight for the Four Freedoms, What Made FDR and the Greatest Generation Truly Great. He's the professor of Democracy and Justice Studies at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. And Harvey, first of all, remind people what the Four Freedoms are.
The Four Freedoms are a promise, a set of ideals that FDR pronounced in January 1941, less than a year before we entered the war. But what FDR had in mind is to articulate the 8 years that Americans had struggled against the Depression, the Great Depression, and the kinds of accomplishments in terms of transforming America and organizing themselves that they had achieved. And he announces in this speech, the State of the Union message, these four fundamental freedoms: freedom of speech and expression, freedom of worship, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. And he pronounces these not as, if you like, ideas out of his head, but to articulate what Americans themselves have been struggling for and accomplishing these past 8 years, and to project them as something that we'll be struggling for again in the future.
So why bring that discussion? Why is what FDR presented then so relevant to today's political debate?
It's relevant, first of all, because we still carry that promise. Most Americans still believe that America is about those four freedoms. But what we've forgotten, and that's what keeps us from pursuing the struggle effectively, is we've forgotten what's necessary to realize those four freedoms. A. Philip Randolph, said, freedom is never given, it is won. And, Roosevelt understood that too. He once said, laws in themselves do not bring the new millennium. It requires struggle. That's why we titled the book, my editor and I, The Fight for the Four Freedoms.
So we've been, there is this grand fight that is going on today. And part of the frustration that I think a lot of progressives feel is that when you list what those four freedoms are, they seem very fundamental. They seem very obvious. When you look at public opinion polls, people support the kinds of policies that would make those four freedoms a reality in our lives. Mm-hmm. And yet that fight seems to be uphill, particularly because of all of the money that has been tossed into the political system by opponents of those policies. So one of the questions that raises is, those of us who are fighting for these freedoms and fighting to make them real, what are we doing wrong?
Well, if I can refer to Franklin Roosevelt for a moment, I always ask myself, what was it that made Roosevelt so effective as a leader? What was it that made him so effective in articulating what Americans' hopes and aspirations were? And first of all, he had a very strong sense, a strong and powerful knowledge of American history. He really was, he was himself empowered by his sense of American history. The second thing was, he truly believed in America's historic purpose and promise as a grand experiment in democracy. But then the third thing, and I think it's the most fundamental, I think we progressives really do need to realize that we do not share these ideas alone, that we share these ideas with our fellow citizens. And what we need to do is we need to speak to their belief in America's historic purpose and promise. We need to speak to their sense, their historical sensibility. We need to remind them of Thomas Paine and his words. We need to remind them of the fight of the working men's parties, of the women's rights movement, of the abolitionist movement, of the populists, of the progressives, of the socialists, of the 20th century civil rights activists, the women's rights and women's equality movement, of the labor unionists. I mean, we've got this history, and I think that we Americans carry that history around in us in a kind of latent fashion. And in many ways, our job as progressives isn't to tell Americans what we think they ought to know, but to remind them of what they know and help them to remember that they carry this fight within them, and then we need to bring them out. We need to tell them that we don't wait for the individual to tell us what to do. We turn out. We join. We create solidarities. We mobilize.
Well, so when we talk about, for example, the Ryan budget, let's take a real-life example.
The congressman from my state.
The congressman from your state. who passed a budget that really does damage to a lot of the things that we believe in. And yet, it was passed by a majority of the House, and the congressmen who voted for it aren't going to get turned out in November unless something extraordinary happens. So what do we do differently with something like a Ryan budget that gets...
Well, obviously we're going to have to put pressure on our own liberal and progressive congressmen to keep up the fight in Congress and to speak American, to remind Americans, as we wish to remind Americans, that kind of talk, that kind of vision is the vision of the 1%. That takes us even deeper into the morass of the Gilded Age of the late 19th century. The other thing is, we can't promise an overnight victory. And this is, to me, the great sadness, really, right now in the Democratic Party, and maybe even we progressives. We need to see this struggle as not just a historic struggle, but as a historical struggle. We need to start building now with a view to the, I'm holding my hands up here, with a view to the horizon. I mean, the odds are against us in Congress, but the fact is that cultivating Americans' historical memory, that's the thing we can build. And that historical memory can turn into political consciousness. And that political consciousness can may well lead us to victory upon victory. And that we shouldn't be deterred by the single election. That we shouldn't say, well, we voted. Now what? You know, what do? We go home and we enjoy ourselves. We turn on the televisions. The struggle, you know, there's that expression in Spanish, Italian, the struggle continues, la lucha continua. We know that as progressives, and we need to encourage our fellow citizens to see themselves in those kinds of historical terms.
So the McCutcheon ruling, the Citizens United ruling before that, which has opened up the ability of plutocrats and corporations to essentially buy our democracy. And if you look at that in a short-term perspective, yes, that is gloomy, because how on earth, even with millions of people, how do we as a mass overcome the ability of a few billionaires to swamp the political dialogue?
Our numbers are greater. Our numbers are greater. Our dollars may not be greater. But it also requires something else. And I think this is where I belong to two labor unions. And I think it's essential for those of us who are labor unionists to start telling our union representatives, our union leaders, that, yeah, we support Democratic candidates who support, you know, who support what we seek. But it's also important that the labor movement, that it take an important fundamental lead in creating this kind of progressive alliance, this progressive majority. You know, we know there are movements out there. We need to create a progressive movement. We need to create this populist majority that exists in this latent fashion and turn it into a massive voice so that politicians who waver realize they are in danger. We need to bolster their energies and bolster them so that they don't waver. We can't go through another 5 years. We don't have the Supreme Court. We don't have the House of Representatives. But that's not to say that over the horizon we can't win them back.
Well, why don't we end it on that note? Harvey Kaye, thank you very much for your time. Your book, The Fight for the Four Freedoms, is available at bookstores. Where should people buy it online?
Well, they can go to Amazon.com, they can go to Powell's.com, they can go to BarnesandNoble.com, or they can go right to the Simon & Schuster website, Harvey J. Kaye, The Fight for the Four Freedoms. There's a whole series of options there. You know, The Fight for the Four Freedoms is really what we are about. It's democracy and the fight for the four freedoms. And thank you for this opportunity. Let's create the populist majority as more than just something latent.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.